Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, empowerment, and encouragement, and I am definitely thankful that you have joined on today. Today's show topic is getting over it, something that many of us need to do, something that many of us have done, and we can share with you on today that we are a living testimony that God had to show us how to get over some things. So we're going to be studying today from the book of St. Luke. That's the third book of the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 8. Before we begin to get into our topic for today, we do want to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us, God, and we thank you for keeping us. We thank you, God, because you are our risen Savior and you reigned over everything in our lives, God. Thank you, God, for reigning over poverty situations, God, and thank you, God, for reigning over marital issues, God, and thank you, God, for reigning over job stresses, God. In the name of Jesus, God, your word says that binding and loosening gives us the keys to the kingdom, God. And so we bind the enemy right now on every hand, God. And we loose the blood of Jesus right now. We loose your love, God. We loose your peace, God. We loose your joy, God. We thank you now, God, because you've already given us the character traits of a Christian, God. And we thank you in advance by faith that those traits are manifested in our lives, oh God. We glorify you now. We praise you, God, for sending your word on today. Encourage the hearts of your people, oh God. In the name of Jesus, lift up bow down heads, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray that your word come forth with clarity and with understanding, whereby you might send us a word to live by, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, even for the topic on today, God, and for helping us to get over it. Because we know, God, that we're going to have some mountains in our lives, but you've already told us, God, what to do with the mountains. You told us to speak to the mountains, God, and they will be removed, God. You told us that all we had to do was have as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed, God, and that everything that we ask for, God, would be done according to your word, Lord. So we count it done now, God, by faith in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you bless everyone who is connected, God, to this ministry, God. Move on their behalf, God. Go before them and make crooked places straight, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray now, God, for bringing every high thing low, God, and everything that is low and seems out of reach up to us, God. We thank you, God, for every door that you've opened, God, and we thank you even for the doors that you've closed in our lives, God, because we already know, God, that you know the end from the beginning, God. You know what's best for us. You know what we have need of, God. And so we glorify you and give your name the praise, oh God, because you are a worthy God. We thank you, God, for all that you have done, Lord. And Lord, we praise you for all that you are going to do. We don't even have to see it in the natural, God. We've seen it in the spirit realm, God. You've already encouraged us, God, by just reminding us of what you want to do in our lives, God, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of these blessings, we declare and we decree them to be so. Amen and amen. Now, for our show topic on today, again, we're coming from the book of Luke. This is a familiar passage of scripture. We're going to begin the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin at verse number 43. Now, I am reading today from the NIV version, which is the New International Version of the Bible. Amen. We're going to begin at verse 43, and the Bible reads, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him," this is referring to Jesus, "and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Amen. The word of the Lord is already blessed. May he add an additional blessing to the readers and believers of his most holy word. Amen. We find here the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And this is a story that we've heard about over and over again. And I realize that everyone who teaches on this subject may bring out various points at various times. Amen. I love that about the word of God. You get what you need when you need it. Amen. So here we find that this woman had an issue for a very long time, and she had tried everything that she knew how to do. She had gone through doctors. She had tried all she could. And you know, in this time, if a woman was bleeding, usually she would go away from other people. If a woman had been bleeding for a long time, you can imagine that for a long time, she had been a lonely, ill, weak woman, because there's only so much bleeding that your body can do before you become physically weak. So mind you, here she is lonely. She's away from folks. She's physically weak. I'm sure she was emotionally weak because she was tired. This woman had been going through this thing for a long time. And y'all know, when you've been dealing with something for a long time, it takes a toll on you. It does not just take a toll on your emotional strength, but it can also take a toll on your spirit. Sometimes you are down to that last moment where you feel like, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I tried everything I can. I really just want to throw in the towel. Oh, but God. The day came when this woman decided to just get over it. She got over what she thought she could have already done to get through this. She got over what she had already tried to do to get over this. She got over the fact that she was lonely. She got over the fact that she was physically and emotionally weak, because Jesus was there, and this was her opportunity to get past everything else that she had been dealing with. So therefore, she had to press through the crowd. She had a painful past that she had to get over. 12 years of pain. Come on now. Some of us can't have a headache for an hour without thinking, oh, Jesus, it must be the end. Come on now. This woman was disappointed by doctors. I'm sure she had a loss of friends and finances, but not her faith. Clearly, she still had a little bit of faith, enough to just reach out. This woman had to get over it to move toward her destiny. You all have to know, when there are things that are going on with us that are hindering us and causing us to be in a pause in life, it's pausing you from your destiny. It's time to just simply get over it. Nothing happened until this woman was willing to just let it go. She had to let it go and reach toward her future. She had to let it go and reach toward the plan of God for her life. How long will you be hindered by this thing that you've been dealing with over and over and over again? When do you just let it go? When do you just reach forward? She reached toward her healing. She reached toward her deliverance. She reached toward her future in her reaching for Jesus. She reached toward a new beginning, and that's what a lot of us need. A lot of us need a fresh start. It's time to just get over it. Now, she could have focused on her pain. She could have focused on the people in the crowd. Ooh, they looking at me. Ooh, I don't want to come down to the front of the church at all to call time, because they're going to be looking at me. Ooh, I don't want to come down to the front of the church when they call for people who want to get saved and need to be baptized, or people who are backslidden, because the people going to be looking at me. No, this woman got over it. She could have focused on how her past had hindered her and sat there dwelling over and over again. Well, you know, I got this problem. Well, you know, I've had this for 12 years. Well, you know, I don't want to go through this process. Come on now. She had to get over it. And that's what we have to do. She could have gone on and on about how many doctors failed her, because she had spent her last dime. She could have gone on about how much money she used to have and how the doctors ripped her off and how they tried everything they knew. And I don't really know if they did everything they could. Well, maybe they could have done this and maybe they could have done that. No. Beloved, it is time to get over it. She put her focus on Jesus and she reached out. She moved toward her opportunity. She moved toward real blessings. She moved toward her destiny. Don't you know that for every excuse that you make about your past, about the process, about the people, and about your pain, don't you know for every excuse that you make, you are hindering yourself from what God has for your future? Why continue to talk about the bad relationship? Why continue to talk about the wayward child? Why continue to talk about the job you used to have? Why continue to talk about the family members who didn't raise you right, who didn't treat you right, who didn't love on you like they should have? The mother or father that didn't protect you like they should have? Why continue to dwell on that? Because the longer you stay stuck, the longer you don't get to where God wants you to be. It's time to get over it. God will open doors that no man can shut, but you've got to get over it. God will make a way out of no way when it seems like there is just no way possible. But you've got to first get over it. Jesus told her, your faith has made you whole. Not her money, because she had already tried that. Not dwelling on the past. There was no time for that. That's a holdup. There's no time for that. He is willing and waiting to bless you. But you've got to get over it, whatever the it is in your life. And everybody has different its. Your it ain't my it, and my it is not yours. But whatever it is that is hindering you, that you've been dealing with, it's time to get over it, because God has a work for you to do. God has plans for you. He has plans to prosper you. He has plans to give you an expected end, but you've got to get over it and get to what God has for you. In order to have a comeback, you've got to go through something. There is going to be a setback. Know that there is no victory without a battle. Know that there is no progress without some work. It's not going to be easy. Mind you, the Bible says that this woman had to press her way through the crowd. She had to press her way through the people. Therefore, it wasn't easy. She couldn't have had a lot of physical strength. This is not something that was, you know, just going to be easy for her to do. But here we are. I'm telling you now, in order for you to get over it, it's not going to be easy, but you're going to have to press your way. It's not going to have to be easy, but you're going to have to reach out and focus on Jesus. It's not going to be easy, but if you want to get to where God needs you to be, you've got to get over it. You got to get over that cheating husband. You got to get over that scheming, lying wife. You got to get over that church that hurt you in the past. You've got to get over it. There's a work for you to do. Get over it and get going. God has something for you to do. And many of us already know that, but we get stuck. You don't have time to be stuck, people of God. There is too much to do. There's too much kingdom building that needs to be going on. There's too much work in the house of God. There is something specific that God has for you to do, but you've got to get over it. Get over what you think you know. Get over what you already been through. Get over what you already figure is going to happen. You don't know what this process is going to be like. Just get over it and get going. In Genesis, the 31st chapter, Rachel consistently refused to be comforted by the many blessings that God had already faithfully provided for her. Now we know that Rachel is the second wife of Jacob. Rachel is a woman who brooded over her father's treachery. She's a woman who brooded and complained over her sister's fertility because she was not fertile. So she complained all the time about her sister Leah. She's a woman who brooded over her own inability to have children. She's a woman who brooded over her husband's conflicting duties. Rather than making the best of her current circumstances, she was haunted by her past. Somebody said, "Ooh, she needed to get over it." And this woman was upset about all the dreams that were unfulfilled in her life. Now, we all know somebody like that. I'm sure that there's nobody listening today. Praise God. You know, I'm sure you got somebody else in mind. I want you to know that this woman complained about her unfulfilled dreams. How many of us have looked back and said, yeah, ooh, if I hadn't been in that relationship, ooh, yeah, if I hadn't moved to this place, ooh, yeah, if I hadn't been on that job, ooh, yeah, if I hadn't lost this and lost that, I'd be doing this and that. Now, ain't no telling what I could be. Don't you know that God has not changed his mind about you? But you've got to get over it. Get over yourself. Rachel was stuck on coulda, woulda, shoulda. On a regular basis, she was having pity parties. Now, we all know somebody like that, right? It's time to stop the pity parties. It's time to move forward, people of God. Rachel insisted on trying to twist the future into what she wanted. She was going to do it her way, whether it was the right way, whether it was God's way, or whether it was her way. She was a beautiful woman. She was a woman who was well-loved. Jacob was crazy about Rachel. He worked several years to get her. But none of that was enough for her. Anybody know somebody that's just never happy? Like, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. They're just negative all the time. They don't have anything good to say. Y'all know that kind of person wears you out. Like, you can't never laugh. What's wrong with you? This woman was constantly wanting more, no matter what she had. Don't you know that envy and bitterness and pride, just like with Rachel, can cause you to be in misery? These things can cause you to be depressed because all you can think about is what you don't have. You don't see what you do have. You don't see the blessings you already have. All you know is what you don't have. Don't you know that these kinds of things will cause you to sin, even if it's not sins of commission? Likely it's sins of omission, because God will be telling you to do something or say something or be a blessing to somebody else. And you sit up talking about, I ain't giving them that. I ain't got that much myself. I ain't doing that. I don't have much myself. What am I going to be a blessing to them for? They have this and I don't have that. Come on now. Get over it. There comes a time when you have to, first of all, face the facts. Face the facts. Okay, I am negative. Okay, I do talk like that. Okay, I do have pity parties rather often. Okay, I don't obey God because I'm busy looking at my own situation instead of just doing what he told me to do. Face the facts. Come on, we got to be real today. It's time to get over it. The second thing we need to do is confess our feelings. Rachel needed to just confess, okay, this is how I feel, but this is what I know God is saying that I need to do. Many of us, especially in the house of God, won't just say, you know what? I am envious and jealous of this person, and that's why every time this sister gets up to sing in the choir, I'm rolling my eyes and can't even pay attention and miss half of the word because I'm envious and jealous. God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord. Help me with these feelings. We have to be honest. Some folks, everybody else can see you negative except you. Some folks, everybody else can see you just downright mean as a junkyard dog, but you don't see it. It's time to be honest with yourself. In order for you to get over it, you have got to be honest with yourself. The third thing that needs to happen is there needs to be a focus on the Lord. With Rachel and the woman that we just talked about with the issue of blood, sometimes you have to stop focusing on your situation. You have to stop focusing on everything that went wrong. You have to stop focusing on how he or she treated you. You have to stop focusing on what the church didn't let you do the last time when you asked. Maybe it was the wrong time. And then her husband, Jacob, needed to learn to deal with the hardships that they were having too. Sometimes when we're going through situations, you know, we go through this thing where you can't tell us nothing. We know everything. Come on now, stop it. Get over it. It's time to simply get over it. There comes a time when you make up your mind, okay, I'm done with deceit. I'm done with trying to do this my way. I'm done with dissatisfaction and complaining about every single thing. And I'm done with discontentment because, quite frankly, God has done awesome things for me. God has done things for me that I didn't even deserve, but I'm so busy complaining, I can't even pay attention to what he's already done. People of God, we have to make up in our minds, I am going on with God. We have to make up in our minds, I don't care what happened. I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of acting this way. I'm tired of feeling this way. Because don't you know when you're negative all the time, you begin to look the part, walking around frowned up, wrinkled up. looking crazy and don't know why. Can't nobody even look at you and say good morning because they don't know if you're going to bite their heads off. Come on, people of God. It is time to get over it. Why not go on with God? There came a time when Rachel died, the woman that Jacob really loved. And like I said, he had worked hard to have her. She had birthed two of his sons, but when she birthed the second one, she died. It was a hard labor, the Bible says. She was going through some things. But don't you know that in order for Jacob to move on, he had to bury Rachel. Some of us got to bury Rachel. Some of us are stuck on some people and some things. Some of us are stuck on some stuff we feel like we should have had, we could have had, we would have had if this person hadn't. Come on now, let's be honest with ourselves. He had to bury Rachel and become single-minded. What did his focus need to be? He had to be single-minded in his devotion to God, as do many of us. Some of us flow back and forth depending on what Boo is doing today. Some of us flow back and forth depending on how we feel and whether or not the pastor moved us in the service on today. Come on, people of God. You're going to have to do like Jacob did with Rachel, as much as it hurts in Genesis 35. As much as you don't know how to let go by yourself. As much as he was going to miss her because he loved her. There are some things that we love to do. And I'm sure some of you have them in your mind right now. Oh, yeah, I enjoy doing that. Yeah, you're going to miss it. Yeah, you're going to miss it. But God has to be more important. As much as Jacob went through to have Rachel, he had to bury Rachel so he could get to his destiny. See, Rachel can only be with you, whoever or whatever your Rachel is. Rachel can only be with you until this point. If you are going to go where God wants you to go, and if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you got to stop and bury Rachel right here and right now. You can't go no further until you do. Here it is. Rachel is now dead. Yes, I know it hurts. The marriage is dead. It's gone. It's over, boo. Yeah, I know it hurts. But you have to bury Rachel right here and right now in order for you to move on. Yeah, that job, I know you lost it. It's over. God has something better for you. Bury it right here and right now. Your feelings about it, your thoughts about it. Because quite frankly, the job was only your resource. God is your source. Hasn't he taken care of you all this time? He's going to take care of you in the next job. But first, you got to let some stuff go before you move on to another job. Those people ain't going to call you back because you were sitting in the interview frowned up and puffed up, looking bitter and angry. You answering questions about the last job. They're like, well, why did you leave? Well, you know, they wouldn't promote me. Come on, people. Who's going to hire you like that? Let it go. It's time to get over it. Bury it right here and right now. Whatever those feelings are, whatever those emotions are, whatever that last church did to you, I don't know. I don't trust church folks. Oh, yes, I've heard it. And some of y'all have too. It's time. It's time to bury it right here and right now. You got to get over it. You got to bury Rachel right here because you can't go over into the land of promise. You can't go over into the things that God has prepared for you with that same stank attitude. Yes, I said stank, S-T-A-N-K. You can't go over to where God wants you to be and dragging that mess with you. Leave that baggage behind. Bury it right here and right now. There's no reason to go further with that anger. There's no reason to go further with the guilt that you have for how you may have been the one to ruin your marriage, for how you may have been the one to ruin the relationship between you and that parent, for how you may have been the one to ruin the relationship between you and your child. Bury your guilt right now. Bury your anger right now. Bury your jealousy right now. Stop being so jealous of everybody else. Why are you so jealous of her new shoes? Go get you some shoes. That wasn't the last pair they made, beloved. Get over it. You so stuck on what everybody else is doing and watching what everybody else is saying and judging everything that everybody else has, doesn't have, should have, would have. You watching everything they're doing. Guess what? It is time for you to get over it. Bury that right here and right now. after Jacob let Rachel go, he was able to move toward his destiny. He was able to move toward his promise. And no, it's not easy. No, he had to work for her for 14 years. Some of us have been holding on to a thing for several years. He had Rachel with him for 14. He worked for her for 14 years. He'd been married to her for a long, long time. Come on now. Some of you have been holding on to that person for several years. You can't even move forward in a new relationship. Come on, I'm a living witness. But God had given him a word to return to Bethel, and he tried to deviate. Here it is. Now he's finally on his way, and he's finally going and doing the things that God has told him to do. And many of us, you're on your way. You're going back to Bethel, like Jacob, a place of worship. You just decided to go back to church. You just decided to get it together. And it seems like everything is going well. Up popped the devil. Something else done happened. And now you've got to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with death. You may have to be dealing with right now the death of your finances. You might have to be dealing right now with the death of a relationship. You might have to be dealing right now with the physical death of someone that you love dearly. But I am here to tell you that you can get over it if you just focus on God and move ahead with what God has already shown you in your spirit. In order for us to get over it, there are some things that are going to be required. I'm going to give you 5 points right now. For those of you who are taking notes, get ready. I'm going to give you 5 points for some things that you need to do to get over it. The first one is time. I want you to know that it's not going to happen overnight. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about a time and a season for everything. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's important that you reach, like the woman who reached for the hem of Jesus's garment, just reaching out. Or like Jacob, who had to just focus on God and bury and let go of some things before he got ready to move forth. You're going to have to do it. And I know you're still going to have some thoughts. That part is going to take time. But you need to reach out. You need to get over it. And move on. There is a time and a season to move on to. Yeah, there's a time to weep. There's a time to cry. There's a time to moan. There's a time to plant and sow. There's a time for everything. So your time to be stuck is now over. And it's time for you to move forward. The second thing you need to do is mind your task. T-A-S-K-S. You need to create some new habits. You need to create some new memories. You need to create some new actions. See, faith without works is dead being alone. We hear that scripture all the time, but you need to apply some work to your getting over it. I already told you, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to do some things differently. You're going to have to learn a new hobby. You're going to have to occupy your mind. Because anytime you're sitting up idle, the devil is going to remind you, see, if you was with them right now, you'll be doing this. We're all guilty of that. Find some new tasks. Stop sitting around idle and letting the devil mess with your head. Find some new things to do with your time. The third thing you're going to have to do is take it to God. Now, remember, the order that you do these in is between you and God. There is no specific rule because what works for me may not work for you. The third thing, again, is take it to God. You have to rely on God as your healer. You've got to rely on God as your deliverer. You've got to rely on God to heal your heart, your mind, your emotions. Oh, this stuff is real. But in order for you to get over it, you got to take it to God. You cannot do it by yourself. Let God heal you from the inside out. We like to speak the Greek and say, oh, God is my Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. Do we really know him as healer? See, because if you ain't never been sick, you ain't really sure. You just know what they say. And there is nothing like being emotionally sick. There is nothing like being spiritually sick. Being physically sick has nothing on when your heart hurts. I know many of us have been hurt. We've been hurt by some people. We've been hurt in some situations. I know many of us have been sick. But you have to go to God for that healing. You have to go to God and let him truly be your Jehovah Rapha. And until he's healed you, you can't be healed. You'll be just like the woman with the issue of blood, trying a whole bunch of things, spending a whole lot of money, spending a whole lot of time and going to people, man after man after man, woman after woman after woman. And you're never going to be satisfied because you're going to the wrong people to heal you. People can't heal you. You got to go to God. Take it to God. Rely on God as your healer. The fourth thing you need to do is tear yourself away from it. Stop driving by her house. Stop looking at old pictures of him. Stop having conversations with them. Because we know sometimes they call just to see, well, I was just trying to see if you was thinking about me. Or, ooh, remember when we used to? No. Stop going to the same restaurant, sitting in that same booth where y'all used to sit, where y'all had your first milkshake. The devil is a lie. Tear yourself away from it. Stop listening to, oh, that used to be our song. Ooh, we used to. The devil is a lie. Tear yourself away from it. The fifth thing is talk. You have to change what you talk about. Change your words and you can change your world. You need to now start calling those things that be not as though they were. You need to now start calling those things into existence from what God has shown you in the spiritual realm. Stop talking about the past and start speaking your victory. Stop talking about your pain and prophesy your future. It's time now to get over it. So again, for those who are taking notes, there's time. Number two is task. Number three is take it to God. Number four is tear yourself away from it. And number five is changing your talk. Why is all of this necessary? Because somebody's thinking, well, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, right now, I just right through here, you know, I just still need to be with her. You know, just right through here, I'm just going to have to stay at that church. I know I ain't getting fed. I know, but I've been there for years. And who, I don't know if I want to go join the world. I don't even feel like walking down that aisle. And who, I don't even feel like trying to go nowhere else. When you know the devil is using you and abusing you, going all upside your head. Why is all of this necessary? Because you have to move on to your promise. You can no longer stay here and be hindered. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And there is no way that you can move forward and still holding on to the past at the same time. You can't do them simultaneously. You have got to get over it in order to get to where God wants you to be. You've got to know that disappointments come in life. Pain is going to come in life. It happens over and over and over again. Pain does come in life. And as long as we're living, it's going to be some kind of pain. It's going to be some kind of discomfort. But we have got to come to a place where we get over it by the grace of God in order to get to our destiny. So whether it's a relationship, whether it's church hurt, whether it's childhood pain, whether it's loss or any other disappointment, you cannot quit on God. You can't quit on God. He's got too much for you to do. What were you thinking? You thought you were just going to sit down? You thought you were just going to give up? No, that's not the way this works. In Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14, we know the scripture very well. We're going to forget those things that are behind. And we have to press forward to where God is calling us. To forget means that we are no longer influenced or affected by it. Yeah, it might come across your mind, but you're not going to feel the same way when you forget it from a spiritual standpoint. When you forget it from a biblical standpoint, it ain't gonna hurt no more. It may come across your mind. You may see that person walking in the mall and you know you heal when it don't hurt no more. You may see that person out somewhere and you don't have the same feelings and you look up and be like, God, you healed me. God, you delivered me. Lord, I thank you for breaking those soul ties. You have to forget the things that are behind in order for you to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling. What does that mean? You've got to let go of the past. You've got to reach for and press toward your future. When Paul wrote this, he was 60 years old and he was in prison. He didn't know if he'd even be acquitted or if he'd be killed, but regardless of his circumstances, he had a made-up mind to live for the Lord. After all that he'd already been through, Paul felt like it didn't even matter. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pressing for my prize. Forget the past. I ain't worried about my past. I'm reaching for what God has for me. That's what Paul is saying in these scriptures. There are three things that I want you to remember. Three things. Watch out for the flesh. The flesh will cause you to think, well, I ain't going to be able to do it. I just can't do it. It's just too much. I can't. Of course, that's what the devil is going to tell you because he don't want you to. It is going to happen again and again, just like the last time. He or she is just like that other person who hurt you before, is what you always think. Verses 17 through 19, the second thing you need to remember is be careful about who your friends are. You don't need friends who are not going anywhere. You don't need friends who don't want anything. You don't need friends who don't have the same mind. So be careful about those friends. There's a new word that we often use now is frenemies. Because a lot of the folks that you think is your friend are not your friends in the first place. So remember, you don't need friends who are negative. You don't need friends who are telling you you're not going to do anything. Oh, you ain't going to do nothing. Oh, you just talking. What? Your future. Uh-huh. You've been right here for the last 14 years. You're going to be here for 14 more. Right here with me. Ha ha. The devil is a lie. Get away from them. You don't need friends that's going to tell you, well, your best days are behind you. Girl, you ain't got it like you used to. I remember back when you was cute. What? All you can do is sit there with that person and be miserable. Because they're miserable. They mean for you to be miserable too. That's what they want. Because they don't want to come out of their rut, so they need you stuck down there with them. Because what they say, misery loves company. So watch your friends. Those friends who sit around talking about, oh, life is just so hard. Whew, I just don't know how we gonna make it. Oh, Lord. Get away from those people. Those kinds of people will continue to keep you from obeying God. God is telling you to move forward, and they're telling you you can't, holding you by your ankles because they have that crabs in the barrel mentality. I ain't coming out of this bucket, so I ain't letting you out either. Uh-uh, the devil is a lie. And the third thing is watch out for failure. Yes, I may have failed in the past. I may have messed up in the past. I may have done some wrong things. But it does not mean that it's going to fail now. It does not mean my new relationship is going to fail because the last one did. It doesn't mean the new job is going to be just like the last one did. If you can't trust nobody, you always got to watch your back. You walking around suspicious all day, eyes big, looking crazy. Stop it. And we always want to know why. People of God, we have to stop that. How could this happen to me? Why did they do this to me? How did I get got? After all I did for him or her, you went through it for the glory of God. You're now a living testimony. You can tell somebody else, oh no, baby, watch out for this. Oh no, baby, when you're on your job, you got to be about business. Oh, don't go to your job looking for friends. That's why. So you can tell somebody else about the goodness of God and about how God delivered you. Christians have to understand that we exist to reflect the glory of God. If you're still stuck on it, you're not going to do that. Moses asked to see the glory in the temple, and it blew the priest away. John and Peter saw the glory of God, and heaven glows with the glory of God. It fills the scripture, throughout the scripture. God's glory has the ability to touch the lives of all who live. The glory of God, His Shekinah glory, is the thing that changes the world. It's the thing that we should seek. We should pray for it to the extent that we don't have time to focus on our past. We want to see God's glory in our lives. Therefore, some of the things that we're dealing with, some of the things that we're going through, we got to get over it so we can talk about God as a deliverer, so we can talk about God as a healer, so we can talk about God as a liberator. He set you free, picked you up out of the muck and the mire, turned you around from the foolishness. All for the glory of God. It ain't about you. See, the word glory is a word of honor. The Hebrew word glory comes from a word that means heavy or weighty. The glory of God is the thing that outlines the significance of God. It sets God apart from all other things and all other people in the universe. In Exodus 15 and 11, Moses knew that. He said, "Nobody is like our God. He's majestic in holiness and awesome in glory. And He's working wonders. Do you know anybody else like God? Because I sure don't." God's glory is God's priority. That's what He wants to get out of your life. It's what makes Him known for who He is among humans. Heaven's to-do list is how can we reveal the glory of God today, every day. In Matthew 6 and 9, in the model prayer, we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name." Jesus showed us that glorifying God, glorifying His name, has to be a priority. If the Son of God understood that, then certainly we have to. It's all about giving God glory. To glorify means to praise and worship God. Can you praise and worship God if you're walking around heavy because you're stuck in the past, because you're stuck in your pain, because you're stuck in some processes? No, you cannot. You ain't praising God if you're walking around complaining about who did this and who shot John. You ain't praising God. To glorify means to describe or represent as admirable. So if you're talking about everything that went wrong in your life and how you no longer have money and how you don't have the job of choice, are you admiring God in your conversation? No, you're not. You've got to get over it so that you can glorify God. Because you can't do both at the same time. You can't be in your pity party and glorifying God at the same time. It doesn't work that way. God wants to be glorified. Therefore, when we set foot in the church, nobody should have to beg us to get up and praise and worship God. You should be already on your feet before praise service starts, because you just think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's already done for you. It should be automatic, because praise is just what we do as Christians. But we can't, because we're too caught up in glorifying what we went through. What do you mean by that? We're too caught up in glorifying our flesh. We're too caught up in nursing our wounds. We're too caught up in, "Oh, woe is me." We've put it on the throne of our lives. Again, whatever your it is, we've put it on the throne of our lives. And everybody, every day, when you do that, that's what you're lifting up. You ain't lifting up God. You ain't lifting up Jesus. You lifting up it. Because every day you wake up thinking about it. You wake up thinking about what's wrong. You wake up thinking about what could be. No matter how much they hurt me, God means more. No matter what I lost, God means more. No matter what he or she did to you, God has got to mean more. I can get over the withdrawals. I can get over missing them. I can get over not having the same finances that I used to have, as long as I got Jesus. Because I can get that stuff again. The stuff means nothing. God means more to me. God is more important to me than that little stuff I had. God is more important to you than that little job that you had. God is more important to you than that relationship. Because you can have all those things all over again, but you got to have Jesus. We all exist to reflect God's glory in whatever way He intends. Not our way, but His way. In Isaiah 48 and 11, God says that he will not be defamed and he is not going to share his glory with anybody else. Many of us are drowning in a sea of guilt, anger, depression, despair, and it is not okay. Know that God sees and he knows. He knows what you went through. He knows what you're still going through right now, but he wants you to get over it. You deserve that. Don't you know you deserve that? Do you really want to walk around with all that guilt on you and all that weight on you, all those burdens? You're supposed to cast your cares to Jesus because he cares for you. Not try to hold on to him yourself. I don't even want the Lord to share my load. I want him to just take it off me. You have got to be able to move on and get to what God has planned for you. And the sooner you do, the sooner you will see his glory. He will not reveal his glory for his own good. But when you get that stuff off of you, he's going to reveal his glory because we need to see it. He already knows his power, but we need to see it. And you need to share that with other people who are in need. Other people who may be going through the same types of things that God has delivered you from, but you got to first get over it. And it's hard to see when you're drowning. When you're going under, you can't see straight. So you've got to come up out of that stuff. Take the life vest. Let go of those broken things that you've tried to hold on to so that you can breathe. Let go of your pain. Let go of your despair. Let go of the doom and the gloom. Let go of those things that are continuing to consume you and pull you under. Allow yourself to sail off into your true destiny. You've been there long enough. Take the life vest and get over it today. Now is the time. God's got strong arms. Let him pull you out. I realize you can't do it by yourself. He never expected you to. But it's time for you to come to a safe place. And once you're pulled out, your job is not to just sit quietly and enjoy your safety. But you now have the responsibility to help other people who are drowning just like you once were. Some folks who are in the same type of mess that you once were. And it's all for the glory of God. It's not about you, but it's about him. It's about his glory. He made us. He created us. He saved us. He sustains us. He provides for us. And he has the right to use us to reveal his glory in any way he sees fit. In Romans 11:36, the Bible says, "From him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever." Amen. End of discussion. To God be the glory forever. We don't want his glory. We ain't trying to share in it. It's not about you. Stop talking about you. But it's about the glory of God. We exist to reveal the glory of God. The earth spins for God. We have abilities and gifts for God. Not for us to be cute. We have money and means for God. Not for us to just walk around flashing it and taking pictures on Facebook with stacks of money. What sense is that? We have strength for God. We exist for him. Therefore, you have to get over it and get on to the glory. Nothing that has happened to you is a surprise to God. Your divorce, your job loss, you didn't get the promotion. He already knows. You don't have time to become bitter. Your parents didn't raise you right. Okay, he already knows. He put you in the family you needed to be in. Get over it. You came down with some illness or some disease, some sickness. Why did this have to happen to me? For his glory. You still have what you need to get what God has for you. Now you get to know him as a healer. Now you get to know him in a different light. You are equipped. You are empowered and you are anointed. Your assignment in life is too valuable for you to be stuck. The call on your life is too valuable for you to be stuck. And you have to know that this is not your battle. This battle still belongs to God. You don't need to seek any revenge on anybody for what they did to you. You don't have to. I'm just going to tear them a piece of my mind. God, no. Get over it. You don't have to be down on yourself. You don't have to be down on life. And you cannot sit around having that pity party, doubting yourself or doubting God. Remember that no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. So no matter what they did to you, God is the vindicator, not you. You ain't got to worry about it. God has all of this in control. We often quote the 23rd Psalm. But do we really know what it means? When you read it verse by verse and you understand the Lord is my shepherd and I don't have to want for anything, that means that God takes care of me and I don't lack anything. All of my needs are met. He gives me new strength. He gives me rest. Even when I'm in a low place or when I'm in a dark place, I don't even have to be afraid. Because why? He is right there with me. He's guarding me and he's guiding me. He provides for me and he causes me to overflow with blessings. His goodness and his unfailing kindness is with me all my life. His goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life if you really understand who a shepherd is and who God truly has been in your life. But you got to first get over it. You can't even understand it or comprehend it until you get over it. Know that there are far more with you than against you. Know that greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. There's nothing they can do to you. In the book of Job, Job said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Because see, Job went through some things. His own wife told him, look, just curse God and die. This is too much. Sickness, loss, pain, discomfort, a crazy wife. Come on here now. When you decide to get over it, you position yourself for double. When Job decided to get over it, he positioned himself for double. 9 months later, God gave him double for his trouble. Double the joy, double the love, double the peace, and double the provision. Don't use your pain as an excuse to be sour. That will keep you from the amazing future that God has for you. You were never supposed to rely on people in the first place. That was your mistake. No human can meet all of your needs, but your Heavenly Father can. People may disappoint you. People can make you want to give up. People are going to fail you because they're not perfect. People will hurt you. Job's own wife, I told you, told him to give up. Folks gonna let you down. But you cannot spend your time trying to figure these people out. Get rid of the bitterness. Hebrews 12 talks about a bitter root. Bitterness will taint your entire life. It affects everything you do. And your countenance will not be the same if you are a bitter individual. Get over it. Let it go. If you don't, that bitter root is going to definitely bring some bitter fruit. You don't want your whole life to be a reflection of what happened to you. You want to reflect the glory of God. How can you help other people if you're bitter? Get over it, people of God. You've got to move on. You've got to let it go. Whatever it is in your life, get it in your mind right now and make a decision today. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm going to stop being angry about it. I'm going to stop focusing on it and reach for Jesus. I'm going to press my way and focus on the things of God because God has something greater for me. I'm worth more than that. God didn't choose me for nothing. Come on here now. He did not choose you for no reason, just to sit and be cute. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Your job is not to be cute, but your job is to glorify God. I thank you and appreciate you so much for joining on today. The topic again for today is on getting over it. And there are going to be some times in life you're going to have to get over one thing and you may have to get over something else. But you are equipped and you are empowered to do so. God has already made you more than a conqueror. So you are well able to get over it. Know that and walk in it. Thank you so much for joining Eve's Corner. If you've decided that you'd like to donate to Eve's Corner, then you may do so via the website. Just simply go to CampbellMinistries.com, go to the donate button and click there. You may also want to mail in your donation. That address is P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. Again, it's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. Because remember now, you all, salvation is free, but ministry costs. It costs to help to put this word out. It costs money to help to put this word out. So help me to reach out to more of God's people. That's all I'm asking you to do. Remember that Campbell Ministries also offers professional development trainings. So if you are a pastor who has a church, or if you are in ministry and you know that your community needs some trainings in job readiness, we can do individual classes or we can do group trainings. You may contact me via email, acampbell681@ymail.com. Again, that's acampbell681@ymail.com. And we will help your congregation to prepare for promotion or to prepare to go out and get a new job, prepare to start a new career. We'll do some resume building. We'll talk about some interview tips. We'll talk about dressing for success and keys to success. So you may contact me that way. Also, Campbell Ministries sponsors Your Big Sister's Closet. This ministry is for young ladies who would not be able to attend the prom otherwise. So we provide prom dresses to young ladies who can't afford to buy a dress. So again, you can contact me via email, acampbell681@ymail.com. Again, that's Campbell Ministries. You may also go to the website, www.campbellministries.com. Thank you so much for joining. God bless you and keep pressing.